Want to welcome our 2013 tournament and FedEx Cup champion, Henrik Stenson, here back in the top five back at East Lake Golf Club. Just talk about returning here and having the ability to win your second FedEx Cup and Tour Championship title.
Yeah, that's great. Of course, there was some disappointment not making it back in 14, but that's a year back in time. So we're here now and in a good position. It was some nice movement there. I started the playoffs in 41st position, I think it was, and jumped up to fourth after the second finish in Barclays, and then been able to keep that for the next 2 weeks. And yeah, we all know what a top five means when you're coming in here, so happy to be in that position and looking forward to the week.
It'll take some questions. Raise your hand. Raise your microphone. Karen?
Henrik, it seems like there have been so many really low scores posted lately that almost a 64 doesn't even get a blink of an eye. What, if anything, does that do for your mindset when you're in the midst of it and you're competing and you're seeing just the smattering of low rounds?
Oh, it always gets me. I give it a blink if I shoot 64. I know what you're saying. Yeah, especially early doors last week, it was a ton of low scores, and I guess we're at a slightly different golf course this week. We're playing Bermuda, which is tougher as a general rule. I think it's harder to hit your second shots, more unpredictable. You get more flyers or not making good contact at all, and if you then don't hit the fairway, You're less chances of hitting the green, and then you're going to be in that rough four bunkers around the green and try and get up and down. So I don't think we're going to see that many 64s around here. It all depends on if it gets soft, then more likely. But it's still not the same golf course we're playing this week like we did last week. So winning score, I think I was 13 under when I won 2 years ago, and always Billy's on something similar, just into the 11 or 12 or something. So it seems to be around, you're always in with a good chance if you just make it into the double digits. So but I wouldn't mind blinking once or twice this week and shooting a couple of 64s. Did I shoot 64 or did I shoot 66? No, 64. I had a 64.
Yeah.
I blinked. Yeah.
And
Henrik, you come back here to East Lake, you're in the top five again. How does knowing that you control your own destiny, how does that affect your mindset?
Well, I think you always come into the events with a mindset that you want to win any tournament. Of course, with a 30-man field, it's always even more so. You feel that the odds are increasing, and when you're top five, you know you got the chance to close out the FedEx Cup as well as the Tour Championship, and we've seen that happen a lot of times. And it's just nice to be in that position. I don't know if it changes it dramatically otherwise, but it's just nice to be in that position. You know, if I win this, and I know what the total outcome is going to be, rather than if you're in seventh. You know, if you win, you will have a good chance of winning it, but it's not a certainty. So, just a little bit of extra clarity on what's going to happen if you have a good week.
You could finish third this week and still win the FedEx Cup without ever having won a tournament all year. What would that be like? Awkward? Would it make you blink?
Yeah, I think I still blinked 10 million times probably. I had the same question in Europe on the back end of 13. I'd won the FedEx Cup and won twice in the US, but then they asked me, well, if you now win the race to Dubai, you haven't won a tournament. But I managed to win the final and got kind of finished those conversations, so I still have one more chance. And I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to swipe the floor with these guys this week, right? There's no one that's playing great and is sky high on confidence, and no one with a bunch of majors, and no one else that hits it 330 off the tee, so it shouldn't be that hard. Huh? Yeah, but on a serious note, yeah, that's just the way it is. I mean, you can be world number one without winning a tournament in a year, and you can win the FedEx Cup or race to Dubai or anything else without winning a tournament. But I would love to win a tournament at the same time, and I come close a few times. And I'm just going to try my hardest this week. But I won't if I finish second or third and win the overall, you won't see me leaving here crying. I know that much. Not out of sadness, anyway.
Yeah, one other thing on the kind of the what you're referring to of people playing well. What criteria do you think you'll use come Sunday or Monday on deciding player of the year?
Well, we got one more, so yeah. I mean, in my mind, it's a very tight race. It's yeah, of course, between Jason and Jordan, and someone with the first letter of a J will win it. And yeah, I mean, I'd still wait until this week is over before I'd put my final vote on that. And it's. Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to what happens this week.
Jimmy?
Henrik, Jason Day made a point of saying he always dreamed of being number one in the world. Did you ever have that dream? Does it matter to you if you have a goal of getting there?
I'd say if when I was in that position there, and I mean, I was basically a week away from being world number one last May, I think it was. When Adam won in Colonial, but at the same time, I think for me, I'd rather win a major championship than to be ranked number one. You know, I feel like I probably played the best in the world for 6 months on the back end of 13, and that gave me a lot of confidence. And whether I managed to make it all the way up there in the rankings at that point. It would probably have felt more weird to be ranked number one in May than in December of 2013. So it's, you know, sometimes the system is kind of dragging behind a little bit then, or you're not making it all the way, which I didn't. So it's not a massive thing. It's a nice bonus, but that thing in particular wasn't something I was dreaming of. That much. It's probably more about winning a major championship.
Henrik, you expressed your disappointment for not being here last year, but you're not the only one to not come
I've
back.
I've seen that.
Is there a FedEx or a $10 million hangover associated with this, or what do you attribute the fact that you're not the only one who has not come back here the year after winning?
Well, I think it's. I mean, the season, the kind of regular season, obviously sets you up for where you're going to be heading into the playoffs. And the better you played early doors, the better your chances are going to be to make it back to Eastlake. But it's still a playoff system where it's going to be a lot of movement. And if you're not playing good enough during the playoffs or haven't had a solid enough season early doors, then you're not making it back. And that seems to be more so the case than not. And if it's potentially, I'd say it could be more of a, after a really successful year, you might not be up and running as much you want to, you know, in the beginning of the next season. Then if you don't find your game throughout the playoffs, then you're not going to make it back. So I don't really have a. I'll let you figure out the answer, but rather than me trying to mumble away, I guess. I wouldn't think so. If anything, it would be. There's no point me trying to explain why some of the other players didn't make it back. It's probably more looking at my own situation after a very intense and successful end to 2013. I was just exhausted the next year and not the whole year, but for the first 3 or 4 months were virtually a washout. And then I managed to pick myself up and came back with some good play and turned 2014 into the second best season of my career. So I was very happy and delighted with the outcome anyway. But I didn't make it back to Eastlake. I fell one short there. I can't remember where I finished, but I was, I guess, in the 40s or something like that. So yeah, I just didn't pick up enough pace throughout the playoffs.
Steve?
Have you given any thought what you would do with the $10 million? And when you're playing, does that even go through your mind?
No. I mean, I'm in a very good position of having won this playoffs before, and it'd just be be a sweet finish to this year if I could make it happen again. But I think if you're thinking too much about the outcome and the money, that's going to be in your way. And I'm just going to go out and try my hardest and hopefully give myself a chance to make it two in 3 years. And I'm sure we can figure out a way where to spend a bit of money if we come to that point.
You like the Coke machine, right?
Yeah, I bought another two as well. So yeah, it was probably buy. Well, yeah, I'd promised away a few in a.
So, do you get the Coke machine from winning the Tour Championship or the FedEx Cup?
Tour Championship, I believe. Yeah.
Does that make you sweat on the back nine thinking about that? And where is it?
No, if you know there's an ice cold Coca Cola at the end of it, you're not going to sweat that much. So it was. It's in my office in Orlando. I'll make an appointment for you. You can come see it.
Dan?
Henrik, Sunday marks the end to a pretty incredible PGA Tour season. Not including yourself, what's maybe your most favorite or most memorable moment from the season?
Oh, if I'm not included, it's going to be really hard. I think the one thing, well, I want to give it two things, really. One, I really felt when I played with Jordan the first 2 days at Augusta this year that he was, I mean, his putting was as good as I've ever seen anyone putt, and it was really his week, and I was not the slightest surprised that he came out on top. And then, you know, Jason tried so hard and was up in the lead or around the lead for you know, so many major championships, and he finally came through on that Sunday at the PDA, so very happy for him as well. And those are the two moments that stand out in, for this season for me. No, we weren't going to include myself. Well, hopefully on Sunday we can talk about that.
Aaron?
Henrik, when you look at a course like this week where you don't expect low scores, if someone were to shoot low the first day, would you just tip your cap to them, or would it make you rethink what is possible on a track like this?
Yeah, I'll just double blink them and say well done on a good score. No, sometimes we get surprised. It could be a course where you don't really think someone's going to shoot 61, 62, but it happens. Here we're playing, it's a par 70 as well, right? So it's, yeah, if someone gets hot, then you can go kind of lower into the 60s than due to the par as well. But it's a long week, it's 4 days, and even if someone has a really good first day or second day, it's still a lot of golf to be played, so it's no need to panic if someone goes like last week. I mean, there was no need to panic when Jason was 18 under through 3 days, 2 days.
What is that like if you are chasing someone who's putting up?
I mean, that's the beauty of it. If someone gets hot and plays that well, I mean, you're trying your hardest, and then all you can say is congratulations. It's just fun to watch. I mean, we're all trying to get into that position, and sometimes we do, and most of the times with someone else. So it's yeah, it's just fun to watch when someone gets that hot.
Thank you, Henrik. Good luck this week.
All right, thank you.
Do you want it cold or room temperature?
He's running a little late.
It's not 100%, but I'm playing most likely 6 out of 7 weeks.